the military says that they have virtually no gambling problem, no problem with gambling among active military. The GAO looked at its protocols and said, well, in effect, you really don't know because you're not asking the right questions. What the GAO recommends is a deeper, broader screening, various junctions in an active military person's life, they would be asked about their gambling habit.
The military has already said they don't want to screen their soldiers. As you say they don't have a problem. So then you describe in your story, and I'd like you to tell us now, the extent of the military's investment in gambling overseas. And do you think this might affect how they want to handle the issue internally?
Well, I suppose it does. I mean, it's a lot of money. The military does operate slot machines at overseas bases, primarily Germany, Japan, Korea. In fact, there were slot machines on U.S. bases until the 50s, and they were swept aside. So these slot machines overseas generate about $100 million a year for the military, which they plow back into recreational activities for the military. And the military says, the Department of Defense, that the payback is much higher for people playing on military-based slot machines compared to ordinary commercial casinos. Therefore, the GIs get to play longer before losing their money, but, you know, the way slot machines operate is that eventually you lose your money. And the Department of Defense says that at least this is a controlled environment rather than the soldiers and sailors and other military going off base into a host country's facilities.
It's also a way to raise a lot of money.
Yeah, it definitely raises money. And they told me that that money is used well, if you will, for bowling and other activities that basically it's a subsidy. So, I mean, they're not like a commercial casino, which would be distributing their earnings to shareholders. They get right back into the military. But it's a component of their budget. I'm sure that they don't want to upset at this point.
You mentioned that the Massachusetts Gaming Commission and Department of Public Health plan an in-depth report about the prevalence of the problem in the state. Do you think these reports, which take a long time to produce and are very expensive, are necessary for future policy decisions?
Well, yeah, I think, in fact, Massachusetts has really distinguished itself by mandating a great deal of research as casinos are planned and opened in the state. And this research is being done independently by the University of Massachusetts and its research teams. And they've already established a baseline of gambling habits. Now they're going to check periodically to see, as new gambling opportunities are added to the state, what is the effect on the population. And so they've identified some areas that warrant extra attention because of problem gambling, and military veterans is one of them. I'm sure that they're going to go at it diligently and with a lot of determination, and I think we'll have something within 18 months, 2 years, that we can all agree is sound and should be the basis of policy.
Is there anything predictable about increases in problem gambling among veterans in Massachusetts now that casinos are getting up and running?
There's more gambling available around the corner in your neighborhood, in a sense. So where problem gamblers may have had to previously plan to get to a gambling site, now it'll be much more easy to access. And with ease of access comes more gambling itself.
So would there be any reason to just sort of go out on a limb and put into place some extra services for the suspected populations that might be more prone to developing problem gambling now, for example, to get ahead of it in a way?
Yeah, no, that's a good thought. I'm not sure what kind of approach would be taken, but whatever it is, I mean, there should be discussions going on right now so that a consensus could be established and plans made for implementing whatever design is deemed most effective to help the military.